Plague, a radio drama by Jeff Green.
Control, you got this? Sector Q. Subject is approaching Evanor from Key Street.
Negative, Mobile 12. We've got no video. Please continue verbal report.
It's the woman. The one we've been hearing about. I'm sure of it.
Specifics, M12.
Sorry. Female, late 20s, early 30s. Long, straight black hair. Flowing white dress. No shoes, no suit, no mask, no breather, no bubbles. Control, the stories are true. She's walking without a suit. Right down the middle of the street like it was a pre-plague meadow in merry old England. Oh, Lord, she's beautiful. Like something in a dream.
Mobile.
Oh, sorry, Control. You're not getting any visual here? She's turned. Started walking towards me. She's looking straight at me. Oh, I know it now. She wants me. And I can do it. I know I can. If she says I can, then it's true.
Mobile, do not leave your station or alter your duty status. Do you copy? What's this guy's name? Get it for me.
Mobile 12. It's Semblin. Peter Janik Semblin.
Okay. M12. Semblin. What is the status there? Report.
Control? She's coming up to me. I know she wants me. She's chosen me. I'm going to join her now. Getting out of my suit.
Negative! Semblin, Peter, do not break your seals. You are in a toxic zone. I repeat, leave your suit seals intact.
Finally free. I'll keep my throat mic on so you can hear me, but my suit is off. I'm out of here and my suit is off. It feels great. She's coming, walking right up to me, reaching to touch me.
Semblin! Mobile 12, come in! Shit! Dispatch! Dispatch! Are you monitoring down there?
We copy that, Control. We've got a unit on the way. ETA, 3 minutes.
Oh, wait a minute. Key Street. Isn't there a money drop around there? Log on.
Log.
Trace me a security camera on Key Street, Sector Q.
There are four.
Sequence them to this post now.
There! That one!
Log. Give me zoom function on cam KQ443.
Zooming.
Oh, God, look at him. I'll never get used to seeing that.
Records, begin processing termination mobile agent CRM-12. Semblin, Peter, accidental suit breach in toxic zone sector Q. Reference this agent. Pray there's no inquiry.
Look, the far camera. There she is.
What?
All in white, down that alley.
What? There?
Gone now.
Look, it was just a piece of sealant riding a convection current.
No way. A human. Walking.
Playback.
Record mode not requested. Floating memory not accessible.
Damn.
I tell you, it was nothing.
So you're buying this hallucination theory? That these men are succumbing to a new plague form?
Sure, it has to be. We've got to keep studying their suits. Must be a common breach. And the first sign of infection is always this state of euphoric hallucination. The image of a woman comes from the collective unconscious, or the media or something. There's no way some unprotected woman is wandering around the streets seducing men out of their suits. Look, I don't buy it. The spore concentration in the dome is higher than it's ever been. Its mutation range is incredible. Nothing can survive unprotected, and you know it.
Yeah? Yeah, and what about the clones?
Oh, come on, Abel. Not you, too. Next, you'll be telling me to watch for Elvis. The Mexican clones are a fantasy. It just happens that everybody wants to believe in them right now.
You seem pretty sure, Maddie. I don't know how anybody can be so sure.
If I didn't know better, I'd say you were scared of something.
Hey, I'm as scared as the next guy, and for good reason, but I'm not stupid. When...
Manny, Abel, what's happening up there? I've got the new commissioner down here, and we're about ready for the tour now. Is everything okay?
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah, Captain. Sorry, we weren't monitoring. We've had a bit of a problem with one of the mobile agents. Well, we'll fill you in when you're free. The program is ready to go when you are.
Let's have it then. Over.
A bit of a problem?
Shut up. It was just a routine suit breach.
God damn it, Manny.
What do you want? You want his widow to get honor benefits right away, or would you rather she sat through a long inquiry?
Yeah. You're right. Okay.
Log.
Log on.
Play tour program, main hall, version 6, now.
Playing.
Welcome to the home of Dome Control. You're about to undertake a tour of the most advanced city maintenance center in the entire surviving world. Just before we begin our look at the people and systems that help keep our city safe, let's review the recent world history that has made a complex like ours so necessary. No one knows for sure where the plague began or how it started. Some said it came to our planet during a meteor shower. Others suspect clandestine genetic experimentation sponsored by one or both of the superpowers. Still others cite the bizarre mutations that had been reported near the Upper Congo industrial waste sites. Whatever its origin, the plague is like nothing our planet has ever seen, like nothing our species has ever had to combat. In the first 6 months of its existence, it very nearly brought mankind to extinction. What exactly is this plague? The experts call it a non-specific, fast-replicating mutagen. It is not a virus, but it has acted like one. It is not a cancer, but it has entered cells and made them cancerous. Or it has mimicked the very cells themselves. In its smallest form, it has been carried right in the DNA as a parasitic genetic pair. In its largest, it has grown on the skin as highly contagious tumors. Most importantly, it has always been in a constant state of mutation, restlessly searching for more efficient ways to attack all forms of organic life. The most common present form of the plague, the end result of the generations upon generations of mutations, and by far its most effective manifestation, is the airborne killer that has come to be known as the toxic spore. In even extremely low concentrations of this spore, as little as one part per million, a human can become infected. Usually, the result is almost immediate. Once the spore enters the victim, through any orifice or even through the pores of the skin, it turns into a viral hurricane, sweeping through the circulatory and nervous systems, turning every cell against the host. In the digestive tract, lung cavity, and heart, the virus mutates again at an incredible rate, turning benevolent cells into fast-acting factories for powerful acids and expanding toxic gases that carry a large concentration of fresh spores. Within as little as 30 seconds, the human is turned into an organic bomb, exploding from every orifice, a grotesque, infected strain. What saved you and me, and the other 20 million survivors around the world, was the fact that the toxic spore was a relatively late stage in the development of the plague. For the first 21 months of its existence, infection was still only possible through direct contact. Only 9 days after the first reported cases in Nigeria, the worldwide scientific community had recognized the deadly threat of this contagion. Within hours of a vast teleconference that spanned the globe and included 49 world leaders, planet Earth had declared unilateral quarantine. Borders were slammed shut, and every military agency called into play to defend them. Boats were sunk, planes shot down, tens of thousands of civilians gunned down trying to cross the no man's lands that terrified nations established between themselves in desperate bids for survival. International trade in everything except broadcast information stopped dead, and untold hundreds of thousands of lives were lost from the resultant shortages in food or fuel or both. Nation-states scrambled for self-sufficiency. For most of the world, these measures, as drastic as they were too late. Africa, the Middle East, Central Asia, and most of Europe fell on the first stroke. Within mere months of the quarantine, the world was already in deep mourning for the passing of a third of its population, a mourning that has never left us and which is newly fed as each day passes. We in the surviving nations turned our resources inward, entire populations readily sacrificing every comfort and luxury, well aware that our very survival would depend on a cure or a defense. It was generally decided to try to save the largest concentrations of population in the major cities. Once again, borders were established, this time to discourage mass exodus to the selected metropolitan regions. Here, massive underground hydroponic farming plants were constructed. Buildings were sealed against the atmosphere, and transitways turned into tunnels, all air supplies subjected to rigorous sterilization. Only the most affluent cities could afford to attempt the most impressive precaution, giant transparent domes that sealed the city from the very sky itself. Only the most affluent of these had their domes in place by the time the plague entered its spore stage. In all the world, we were only 10 in number. Many urban centers worldwide, and even smaller communities in more technologically advanced areas, had survived the plague's first phase. But came the toxic spore and the wide range of life-destroying mutations it brought with it, and one by one, city after city, country after country fell as their defenses proved inadequate in the face of this ubiquitous wind-borne killer. Only the domes proved effective with their building-sized sterilizing air filters. In what seemed but a dreadful moment, our planet became the sad ocean of death we know today, with its few small islands of tenacious life. And now more than 3 decades have passed since the plague first touched our world, and the danger has never been greater. The toxic spore seems to thrive on only sunlight. Its concentration outside the dome is now an incredible 500 parts per million throughout the measurable atmosphere. Nothing organic can live outside a dome for more than 30 seconds. In addition, the spore has never ceased its restless mutating, and strains have developed that can permeate even the dome material itself. Of the 10 original dome cities, only 7 are still viable. And each of these regularly report massive loss of life as one area or another becomes infected. In those cities, as in ours, spore levels have continued to rise despite ongoing ever greater filtration and sterilization of air sources. Once again, people are confined to the sealed buildings and underground pathways, venturing into the open streets and lifeless parks only with space-style isolation suits constructed of highly specialized materials. Even with these precautions, our death count is high and getting higher every day. As despair seizes our shrinking population, suicide has become the number 2 killer. But all is not without hope, as you'll see on your tour today. Here in Dome Control, we have concentrated the most advanced technology and expertise available to us with only one goal in mind: to stave off the assault of this relentless plague long enough that the scientists deep in our research labs will have the time to generate the vaccine we know must be possible. We share our knowledge freely with the scientists of our sister domes, and we feel more than confident that together we will find the answer to this, the most important question ever posed to mankind. Though all of nature may contend against us, we intend to survive as a species, as a city. And now, if you will please follow your guides, we will begin our tour with a look at Dome Control's celebrated Information Processing Center.
What?
Hey! Oh, Gandalf! Gandalf! Oh, God, no! What were you doing in there?
Oh, my
God!
Hello, Central. This is Agent Munich. Give me dispatch.
Roger, Manny.
Airlock is open.
Dispatch.
Yeah, this is Agent Munich. Listen, my family dog just got out of the airlock somehow at my home. Could you send a unit around to clean it up before my son gets home from school?
Sure thing, Manny. Sorry to hear it.
This is great. Lotta. Lotta?
Not too much.
Lotta!
The usual one. It's you. I guess I fell asleep. I just said. You're home. Gandalf, he was.
Dead.
No!
I opened the airlock and he ran out. He was in the airlock, Lotta.
Don't you ever look in an airlock before you open it, you idiot! Damn it! Damn it! Damn it! It's your fault! I just put him in there for a minute. He was barking and barking, and I couldn't hear my show, and you weren't home for hours. Chris, we can't let him know. We'll get another dog right away, and he'll never know. You gotta distract him so he doesn't
he's
see
He's still at school. I called dispatch, and they'll clean it
no,
up before
he's home! There was a seal breakdown in the school district, and everybody was let out early today. He's in his room! What was that?
The airlock. Chris, you've got your suit on! Chris!
Chris!
No! Oh, my God! No! No! Not my son!
No! No!
Our feature film selection this afternoon has been The Big Sleep. And now it's time for Information Forum.
In dark times such as these, we will turn to anything that might give us even a ray of hope. It is fitting that a people that owe their survival exclusively to technology should seek out technological myths to succor them in their hour of desperation. Thus, we often hear of the so-called Space Ark, a supposed intergalactic vessel that is being constructed on the far side of the moon by a team of international scientists. Sadly, as we all know, the moon is dead, as are all our brave astronauts and colonists. No salvation will be found there. We hear also of the Nautilus, a mythical nuclear submarine that is searching for a vast undersea dome where the last of the survivors of long-lost Atlantis hold the secrets of the ancients and the knowledge that will destroy this plague. As we know, the sea is dead, and no salvation will come from there. But mostly we hear of the mysterious Mexican clones. This myth has its roots in the controversial experiments reportedly conducted by geneticist Armand Arjuela in Mexico City soon after the plague was first reported. Though Arjuela was killed in the class riots that followed the announcement of Mexico's so-called money dome, and all record of his experiments lost, according to reliable reports, he had been attempting to create a plague-resistant human strain by exposing fertilized ovum to diluted viral material. According to the rumors, these experiments produced 4 viable children completely immune to the plague in all its forms. Up until now, this myth has been generally discarded along with all the others as so much quasi-religious fantasy. But in the wake of this morning's accident in the Great California Dome and the video footage and eyewitness accounts it produced, it is being taken much more seriously indeed. The incident unfolded like this. Just 6 hours ago, another day was beginning in the California Dome. Suddenly, a main panel of primary dome material that faced onto a pressurized public walkway gave way. Like so many other similar tragedies in our history, this one spelled certain doom for many hundreds of innocent men, women, and children. The walkway was automatically sealed from the rest of the dome, and those unfortunates trapped inside left to fend for themselves as the massive concentration of spores outside the dome poured in to destroy them. One group of about 90 people managed to find temporary shelter in a small glass kiosk normally used for information distribution, which they attempted to seal using materials at hand. They must have known that this would only gain them a few minutes over their less protected comrades. But desperation, drove them to this futile effort. And all around them, they watched the people die in that unmentionably sickening way that we are so horribly familiar with. All, that is, except two, a man and a woman. As you can see in this footage from an automatic security camera, these two, who have been identified as Raoul and Tasha Cabal, seem affected only with confusion and uncertainty. The right-hand scale is indicating the rising concentration of spores in the walkway, and as it approaches saturation point, you can see that these two are actually beginning to glow, as if their immunity interacts with the plague virus to create some kind of phosphorus residue. From their actions, it also seems clear that they themselves were wholly ignorant of their immunity and seem just as startled by their survival as we are. Unfortunately, as you can see, their fear brings them to the glass kiosk with its small tribe of terrified survivors, and these people are not so uncertain. The clones, the Mexican clones, they cried as they opened their small chamber to admit them. If these were two of the mythical Mexican clones, then sadly, we may never know. In their fear, in their superstition, in their ignorance, in their blind terror, their mindless fight for survival, the crazed mob in the kiosk tried to get for themselves what they saw that these two had. They wanted immunity, and they knew they needed it fast. In less than 90 seconds, they had completely cannibalized Raoul and Tasha Cabal, such that later cleanup crews could distinguish only clothing, bone, and blood. If these were two of the Mexican clones, then the only thing that has been learned by this senseless tragedy is that eating of their flesh does not itself confer immunity. The myth of immunity is a tantalizing one, in this age probably the only one worth having, and it has produced another modern myth unique to our city, the so-called woman in white. Report after report has been logged of this figure, a dark-haired woman in a flowing white dress who moves freely and openly down the city streets, wearing no suit or protective gear of any kind. Several deaths have been associated with this woman, who is said to beckon to men, seducing them out of their suits so that she can embrace them. Is this yet another manifestation of our tireless capacity for metaphysical fantasy, as has been the common view? Or has today's incident in our sister dome to the south given even this weird tale a new breath of credibility? You've been logged onto Information Forum, and now it's time for... That woman in white. That damn woman in white. That same damn woman in white that you're always talking about.
I've mentioned her a couple of times.
I think you know more than you're telling about this woman. I think you've known a lot about this woman all along. I think you're planning something with this woman, and you need me out of the picture. You and she arranged for me to fall asleep so Gandalf would die and Chris would kill himself.
Shut up!
But I'll tell you what, I'm going to screw your plans up royally, mister. When she shows up, I'm just going to take your little service pistol here.
What are you doing with that? Come on, stop acting crazy, Lotta.
I'm going to stroll right out there. Well, look what we've got here. I don't have to wait any longer because there she comes.
What are you talking about? Out there, you see something? Oh, my God, you're right. That's her. I know I thought I saw her a couple of times, but I could never be sure, but there she is. Look, Lotta, what are you doing? Lotta, put on a suit. No!
Screwing up your plans, man. You're not leaving me for this bitch, because I'm about to off this bitch.
Damn, I missed blocking the cycle. She'll be out in a couple of seconds. Gotta get a suit on. Oh, no, it's too late. She's out there. Oh, why? God damn it! What's she doing? The woman. The woman is walking up to her. Lotta's raising the gun. Oh, Lotta, why did you have to do this? Oh, please, oh, God. She's dropped the gun. Embracing. Now the woman is turning away. Walking away. Who is that woman? She looks back at me over her shoulder. And now Lotta. Now she starts to die. Why?
Why?
Why has mankind been dealt this deadly blow? What sin have we committed that was so great that we were marked for extinction? If there is an afterlife, then right now there are 100 billion human souls that want an answer. Will a planet peopled only with toxic spores be more what our God had in mind? In case there is anyone left listening to the sound of my voice, I will repeat again the last testament of our world. The spore has mutated. The dome material itself has been completely breached. And as I speak, it is collapsing in dissolving shards. As far as we know, the situation is the same in all the last domes. There is no protection. No matter how deep you go, how greatly you seal yourself in, the spore will find you. And you will die. It is my heartfelt recommendation at this time that you utilize whatever tools of euthanasia are at your disposal for your family and yourself. I myself have the standard issue suicide capsule, and since it looks like I won't have the time to reach my family, I'm going to simply say farewell now. I love you, Marcia, Dan, Sylvie, and Jason. Goodbye. May God have mercy on our souls. And may we find it in our hearts to forgive him for what he has done to his world.
So this is it? As if I could care less. What the hell is there to live for? Oh, God, look at them out there. They're just throwing themselves into the streets. Oh, no, I don't want to go that way. I'm not letting that goddamn spore take me. No way. Where did I put that gun? Oh, right. They took it from me when they kicked me out of dome control. Said I was emotionally unstable. Needed time to recuperate from the tragedy. Well, now let's talk about time. Let's talk about tragedy. I haven't got any capsules, pills, drugs. A couple of bottles of wine won't do me in. Oh, what am I gonna do? I'm not gonna run into the street like those suckers. There she is. It's her. Haven't heard a word of her in weeks, and now there she is. Look at her walk down that street just as cool as you please while people are exploding all around her. She is beautiful. I can't help feeling I know her somehow. She stopped. Right in front, turning, looking this way, walking this way. My lock, she's opening my airlock. What's going on? Oh, is she going to be the agent of my death? Well, why the hell not? Seems fitting somehow. And opening the inner hatch. She didn't close the outer door. When this one opens, I'm finished. God, this is it. She's in. So must be about 1 billion spores. I wonder how long we've got. Is she talking to me? I can't hear anything. Her lips aren't moving, but I feel she's saying something to me. I'm to come with her. But she's been looking for me for a long time. She's taking my hand. We're going outside. What's going on? I'm not dying. I'm not choking, not keeling over, not exploding. We're walking, hand in hand, toward the dome. On where the dome used to be, there's a huge hole in it over there. I'm dreaming. I must be dreaming.
No.
She says no. That the opposite is true, that the nightmare is over. We're just walking through the hole in the dome. We're outside the dome. How can I be living, breathing? Look. Look at her. She's glowing. Like those two in the California dome. She's a clone, and that means my arms, my legs. Me, I'm glowing. I am... Foster child. They said I'd been brought north, smuggled into the city before the time of the dome. That means that I am found me at last. We were separated so long ago, and now she's found me. Look back! The dome is collapsing! Get down! Live, survive. There's nothing left. The world is a desert.
Spore.
The spore. That's part of how we're different. We can live on the toxic spore. It will be our nourishment, and we will take it in through every pore with every breath, and it will feed us. We will be like whales grazing on plankton. We will walk and live and breathe and breed. And in time, there will be a new world, and we will be its father and its mother. And maybe it will be good.
During Plague, you have been listening to Robert Boxtel as Manny, Mary Ellis as Lotta, Tim O'Ray as Peter Janik Semblin, Chris Shoemaker as Abel, Shelley Aaron as the voice of Dome Control. Music was by Charles Fairfield. Plague was written and produced by Jeff Green. Just another of the
weird words
from Stranger Media.
To find out more about the works of Jeff Green, go to strangermedia.com.